with brilliant razor-sharp writing and deep reporting of the case. He proves to be the perfect narrator as we witness two lives on an inevitable collision course. That is what award-winning journalist Katie Couric said, describing the book Murder in the Dollhouse, the Jennifer Doulos story, as well as the author of that book, Rich Cohen. Rich Cohen joins us now on WICC, and I want to thank you personally, Rich, for being part of our broadcast and talking about your book. I first want to introduce you, though, to our audience, who you are, your background, and what got you interested in the Jennifer Doulos case.
I live in Ridgefield, just up the street, up the road from you, and I've lived there for about 17 years. I grew up outside of Chicago in a town a lot like probably New Canaan or Darien. And I lived in New York for a lot of years, became a writer, and I had kids and got married and kind of got pushed out of New York and moved up to Connecticut, which I knew nothing about. And the way I got interested in this story was when it first happened, the news was that this woman who lives not far from us in New Canaan dropped her five kids off at the New Canaan Country School and disappeared. So it was like almost a mystery, and it terrified a lot of people because it was so familiar. What she was doing, she was in the most mundane domestic part of her day, and she's gone. And, of course, it turns out to be the story of this terrible divorce and a brutal murder. At first, I was asked to write about it by a magazine called Airmail. And I didn't want to do it because I felt like it was so well covered and it was such a terrible story. But just because it was absorbing all the people in my life, I got the arrest warrants and started reading them. And I found that her life and my life and the life of all the people I knew and the people my basic age and generation were so similar. And it was so familiar, which is what made it so scary. And their, you know, problems as a couple, Fotis Doulos and Jennifer Doulos, were so familiar. And I grew up, I was born in 1968, so were Jennifer and Fotis, I believe. And when we grew up, there was a huge divorce boom. You know, like half the parents were getting married, divorced in America in the 1970s. We grew up with that. And I always thought that was something we would steer clear of, the really bad divorce where you end up fighting over the kids, because it had been our own childhood. But then I started looking into these people and I found that they went right into that same sort of wood chipper. I mean, and it wound up in this almost over a year in court, to over 300 or 400 legal filings before they even got to the divorce part. And ultimately the culmination of the whole thing, and what's so tragic about it is you can see it coming, but you hope it doesn't, is Jennifer disappears. Meaning she doesn't disappear, she's murdered in her own garage by her own husband, who then, whatever he does with her body has never been found, and it's ripped open this wound in the part of Connecticut I live in that still hasn't healed.
Now, what's interesting, Rich Cohen, your name was very familiar. I'm a reader myself, and I recognized your that's why I'm very honored that you're even on this show. You are a New York Times bestseller for multiple publications that you've made. And you've certainly, you have a lot of accolades to your name, and to have that kind of a connection, you know, the Connecticut connection, the even the age connection and all that, I think is really neat. What sort of changed your, what was the reasoning, because there were so many people who could relate or were so rocked by this? I mean, what changed your mind to want to dive into this and read through? Because my understanding is your book, I haven't read it yet, but my understanding is your book really tackles sort of what led up to that fateful day when she disappeared and then dives into it.
Well, I, you know, I thought that there was a lot in common between my world and her world. But as the stories I wrote for Airmail started to be published, I started to talk to people who knew her. And I realized it wasn't just close, that we had the same friends. We were in the same social circle. We overlapped at many places. And I had lunch one day with somebody who'd very seriously dated her and almost married her in the 90s when we were both writers in New York. And he said what he really didn't like about the coverage and the newspaper stories is that they all focused on the killer, on Fotis. And I understand that because, one, is at this point, Jennifer's gone. She's been murdered. And Fotis is still around. Mm. So he's available to be looked at, to be interviewed and everything else. Two, when you're dealing with somebody who's committed murder, you're dealing with the question of evil. And that's always interesting and fascinating. And three, I believe he was a psychopath, and there's never been a boring psychopath. I mean, psychopaths by nature are charismatic. So he was a very charismatic character. But my friend said she sort of turned into a prop and disappeared. And that sort of reoriented me as I went into writing about this. And I started looking at her, and she was a writer, so she left a lot of writing behind. And you're able to get a sense of what was going through her head by reading her own writing. And I felt like she was so much more interesting than him. Mm-hmm. And one of the great, you know, horrible things about a crime like this is not only does he kill her, but he kind of disappears her from her own story. Because her story becomes about her last day of life, her last hour of life, and all about him. And I really went in with this idea of trying to understand her, recover her, and return her to her own story, because you can really only understand how, you know, monstrous this crime is by understanding the real people involved. And I had this idea as a reader of true crime to write a different kind of true crime book that would be more about life and the life of Jennifer than about death, and understanding how she ended up with him. How do you end up with just the worst person in the world as the most intimate person in your life? And how do you try to extricate yourself from that? And that's what she was doing when she was killed.
Mm. So again, we have Rich Cohen here, and he wrote a book, Murder in the Dollhouse, the Jennifer Dulos story. And where did you come up with that title?
Well, when she was a little girl, she was obsessed with dollhouses and creating this sort of, she wrote about it, and she creating the perfect family, her idea of the perfect family, which, you know, wasn't real. It was a fantasy, a little kid's fantasy, perfect mother, perfect father, never fight, perfect kids, perfect names, perfect everything. And then when she got to be older and she decided to have a family of her own, it's like she tried to actually create that dollhouse, that fantasy for real in Farmington, Connecticut, in a huge 10,000 square foot mansion where she lived. And she did on the outside. But on the inside, it was a nightmare that ultimately became murder, sort of violence and murder entering her dollhouse vision of the world. So that was another thing which interested me, which is we live in this place with these huge houses and very rich people and perfect lives, but really you have no idea what's going on inside. Mm. And that's, I never really can look at any of these houses the same way, because you don't know what's happening, really going on, you know?
Yeah.
You're just seeing a facade. And it actually made me more sympathetic with a lot of people that maybe I wouldn't be sympathetic with, because you're only seeing them out in the world, and they might be fighting the struggle of their lives, for their lives, literally, and you would never know it. So err on the side of sympathy.
Mm. That's how I feel about social media as well, Rich. I think about the fact that they, you know, for a long time, I until I really started to dive into the implications of when people post or when they put stories up, things like that, I always, you know, the initial thought is you're bragging. You're just bragging about how great your life is and all that. But then more times than not, a lot of the times it's a facade. When you see that perfect life, if you will, on social media, a lot of the times it's either covering up for something else that's really going on, or it's an attempt to say, you know, I'm really struggling. That person's really struggling. And so it's almost a silent call for help a lot of the time, not always, but a lot of the time. So I sympathize with what you're saying. And that's such a great analogy, the idea of the dollhouse and what's really going on indoors. Rich Cohen is here, who wrote the book, Murder in the Dollhouse, the Jennifer Dulos story. I'm curious, since this released, Rich, have you heard from Gloria Farber, Jennifer's mom?
No, but I've heard from so many people that were involved with Jennifer and involved in the life of the family, and also the police. A lot of police who wouldn't really talk to me very much while I was reporting, because the case, the trial of Michelle Traconis, was still going on.
Yes.
And that is Fotis Dulos's, the other woman, the paramour, and might still be going on because she's appealing. So they weren't allowed to talk. But now they are. I've heard from a lot of them, and a lot of the, I'm surprised by, you know, I feel very good about how much I got right, because we all have limited knowledge about anybody and anything. I mean, it's all, you're just trying to understand it by putting yourself in the position of the other person's shoes. I actually felt like I understood, you know, Jennifer, even though we're different genders and different lives, a lot of the things about our lives are very similar. And I felt like I understand her. I had a much harder time with Fotis because I do think that he was probably a psychopath. And I feel like what a psychopath does is a psychopath doesn't see other people as actual real people with real lives. They see them as sort of objects in a video game, you know, mm-hmm. And who are either objects to preventing them from getting what they want or bridges to going where they want to go. And either way, they're an inanimate object. And that's mm-hmm. how he treated her. So anyway, the reason why I kind of went on and wrote a book after the magazine article is because I couldn't stop thinking about it, even dreaming about it. And even though I finished the book, it's still the same. I'm still finding out more, learning more. And it's kind of like finding about all of our lives. Mm. So.
Yeah, that's so impactful. And where can people get a copy of the book, Rich Cohen?
Well, you know, in Connecticut, there's a million of great independent bookstores, and that's one of the great things about Connecticut. In Ridgefield, we have a great bookstore called Books on the Common. And there's also a really nice new Barnes & Noble in Stamford that I just went to. And then, of course, it's on Amazon, and it's on, you know, it's widely available. I even saw a copy at the O'Hare Airport when I was visiting home.
That's got to be so bizarre to you.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, there I am again. There I am again. I think that's incredible. And I also want to encourage people to also check out the other works that Rich Cohen have done. You have a website, authorrichcohen.com, that I was, just kind of looking through. And it's just very impressive, the amount of work that you've done. But most recently, the Murder in the Dollhouse, the Jennifer Dulos story, very easy to find. And Rich Cohen, I want to thank you for pursuing this, creating a book again. You've gotten a lot of accolades since writing this and releasing it to the public. And I look forward to reading it as well. Thank you so much for your time on WICC.
Thanks for having me. Have a great summer.